cliffcentral.com.
And we live. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm your host, Khonse, and you tune to Property Hour with Khonse. And I've got two amazing guests with me. For those of you who don't know, my day-to-day job is actually as a property advisor. And today I've got my colleagues who are going to introduce themselves and they're going to tell you what they do.
Hi, my name is Leslie. So I work with Khonse at the Hyde Park office. We work for a company called Engel & Völkers. I'm sure a lot of you people have heard of them. We're an international brand originating out of Germany, but we've grown massively in the past years, and we're now operating in over 700 locations, 32 countries. We have over 8,500 employees, so it's a massive organization. We do properties in those areas. I handle the Melrose area, Melrose Arch, Melrose North, Melrose Estate. I'm here with James.
Yeah, good morning. I'm James. Also, obviously, with Engel & Völkers. With regards to what I do, I've been in the sales industry for pretty much my entire career. And obviously, the natural progression to property was as a facilitator and somebody to handle, deliver the service that people require, and basically create a seamless transition between the selling or buying of a property, which is your biggest purchase in a lifetime.
Yeah, man. Guys, I do the Marvel area because you guys know I'm so nice and vibey. Marvel is my area. And yeah, that's where I sell. And it's so hard being a property advisor. I mean, people think that all we have to do is just find someone who wants to sell their house. We go there, we sell it, and then that's it. It's done. They don't know that there's actually a long process. Can you guys also tell me about the process that happens behind it?
Well, I think, from the get-go, once the buyer or seller has decided to buy or sell, the opportunity for the sales advisor to step in then takes place. The idea behind that is to, again, as I mentioned, to make it a seamless transition. From the get-go is to obviously establish the buyer's needs, the seller's needs, what they want to achieve out of the sale of their property. It obviously, with the correct guidance and experience and professionalism, we are able to give an accurate valuation on the property, an indication, and this is derived from sourcing information from previous sales in the market of similar size, similar values. And so from there, we then enter into the selling or buying negotiation process, where we then market and list the house correctly. Mm-hmm. And our marketing is essentially our biggest strength. We're internationally recognized as well. So those properties with exclusive mandates are actually advertised internationally as well. Mm. And essentially from there, handling and managing the situation and making the client feel at ease with what they're doing. We represent both the buyer and the seller. The concept behind that is obviously that we will negotiate a deal that is comfortable for each individual. A lot of people get a misconception about what a salesperson is or a property agent, and that they're not acting in their best interest, when in actual fact it's the direct opposite. No deal is structured where one person would be unhappy. So to facilitate both and put the buyer and seller in touch with each other, we'd be able to get to a point where seller's happy, buyer's happy, and we can negotiate the deal and sign and take the effort out of opening their homes up to when doing a private property deal, that we can secure and look after them
and make our commission.
Yeah, you always have to make a little money.
And then Les, I want you to tell me, right, what is the importance of a property advisor? Like, why do they need us?
Well, I mean, like a lot of what James was saying, just to kind of sum it up into a one line, I mean, we streamline the process, you know. People don't realize all that's involved in buying or selling a home. You know, on a day-to-day basis, if I'm selling or buying a property, I'm not a professional by any means. I don't know what's happening in the market. Mm. I don't know what's happening in terms of currency, in terms of lending from banks and stuff like that. And that's where, you know, a sales advisor comes in. Mm. So they're able to offer that advice. They're able to streamline the process. They just make it very simple. There's a lot of paperwork involved. There's a lot of different parties, from attorneys to the bonds and all of that kind of stuff. And that's where we come in. So we just streamline the process. I think that's the easiest way to put it.
A lot of what we do as well is just highlighting the small print. of the sale and ensuring that any defects of property are disclosed.
Yeah.
The buyer knows exactly what he's getting himself into. The seller obviously is transparent in that. And we are able to derive that and draw that information based on our experience when dealing with clients. With regards what we offer as a property agent is obviously the better access to information with regards what is happening in the market, but also the more convenience. Giving the convenience to the buyer or the seller.
Exactly.
Essentially that sums up that aspect of it.
No, definitely.
All right, guys, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned right here on Property Hour with Khonse. And before we go into playing our next song, which is going to be Wale, Lotus Flower Bomb. I love the song. So, guys, you can WhatsApp me, okay? Hit me up on 079-748-2090, as well as on Twitter and at cliffcentral.com and Khonse at The Goon, man. Hit us up. Baby, this was for you. Lotus. All right, and we're back, Property Hour with Khonse, with my two amazing studio guests, James and Leslie. So while we were off air and Wale was busy playing in the background, we're asking the sound engineer here, Palisa. So I'm speaking to Palisa now. I'm asking her, what do you think of property? What do you think about the show? And she's just telling me, well, I think property is... the conversation is just too deep. And I'm like, how? You're a young adult. You need to know that right now you should be actually working at your first property. Why are you not doing that? So we're going to touch base on that, guys. We're going to talk about why the young adults of today have nothing, they don't know anything about the property industry and how they can actually go into getting their first property.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, when we look at property itself, and like we were saying in the break, you know, James was mentioning how it's one asset that appreciates. And in our jobs, we get exposed to a lot. So we see a lot of young people who are actually purchasing property now. And I don't think that was a trend in the past. But still, we're nowhere near where we should be. Mm. I think when people start working, they have a lot of other priorities, you know. We look at helping out at home. We look at buying our first car. We're so excited to get our first place that we can rent. And we get caught up in a cycle. And the more time that goes by, you have so many other financial commitments. You never get around to actually purchasing that property, or you do it when it's actually too late.
Mm.
And you see the trend, even when people retire, they're not financially prepared, you know, to retire. And that's why you have to work into this old age. So we need people to start early, you know, purchase your first apartment, take the jump, take the leap. It's always easier to do it when you first start working as opposed to 20 years after working. You got a lot of financial commitments. And I think that people have to get their mind right. Their parents need to educate the kids and let them know that that's the way to grow their money.
Mm, definitely. And you, James?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, my position on that, or my opinion on that, and obviously I was at school before you were born, Contessa. But what I found, the shortcomings in terms of education in this country, and that's across the board, is that children, as they're getting into adolescence, are not prepared for what's going to happen after school. In terms of what is required to accumulate wealth, yeah, how you would go about doing it, people get involved in jobs. The first thing they want to do is buy a car. Cars are by far the most depreciating asset you could possibly ever buy. And I was involved in that industry for many, many years. So where I feel as though things could be improved, and this is obviously outside of it, it's a subject that is very broad, but an opportunity for parents and educators to start channeling people's energies into where they're going to establish themselves financially. Buying and selling properties doesn't have to be a big property. It can be a small apartment.
Mm.
You know, you sit on that property for a couple of years, you will get a return on your investment. It allows you to develop more money, capital, to invest back into properties. So you're keeping your bond rates down, your installments, and slowly build your property portfolio up where you've bought and sold three or four properties and eventually get to a position where you are predominantly a cash buyer. But as I say, I mean, kids and I think the greater society in South Africa is very much status orientated, where guys will preferably have a big expensive car as a expression of how well they're doing. Whereas money in bricks is where you're getting your money. And I think, channeling that information through to young business people, young entrepreneurs, people who are leaving school, getting into business for the first time, that's where they should be spending their money.
Do you guys think that it's happening only in South Africa? Because, I mean, let's be honest, when we look at the European side, everyone that side is wealthy because they know about the property life.
Having spent some time in Europe and understanding their educational process, particularly, I mean, well, more outside of the UK, the people in Holland and the Scandinavian countries, their education process is far different to ours. Mm. And, you know, these children or young adults are leaving school in a much more prepared manner in terms of tackling business and where their values are going to be in terms of investments. Mm. Whereas here, hopefully that trend will increase. But as I say, I mean, I was in school a long time ago, so things may have improved since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. It is, a lot of it is down to education. I mean,
yeah,
that's why, you know, we look at a lot of great initiatives like bring a boy to work, and we look at entrepreneurs doing internships, and we're trying to pass on that education. And I think it needs to grow a bit more. We're still a little bit behind in that respect, but we will get there. And I think that's definitely where it's going to start. We need to start with the youth. We need to plant the seed so that they know that this is where they need to be. And it's never too early to start. I mean, hopefully we get to a point where, you know, everybody leaving school owns at least one little property and not focusing on a car, not focusing on the expensive clothes or the lifestyle. So
I think an interesting discussion that we'll obviously, this would naturally progress into, is what is salesmanship? What is the what do you need to get involved in? I mean, getting back to our business and moving away from the educational aspect of it, but getting involved in what's required to become an efficient professional salesperson, which is, in my opinion, a very unrecognized or profession in this country. I think the misconception of a lot of people is that salespeople are underhanded, they only looking after their best interests, make a quick deal, not look after the client. So yeah, we can sort of discuss that in further, I'm sure, as we progress into that.
Definitely. And Les, also knowing that you worked internationally as well, can you school us and let us know how different it is as a property advisor that side and in South Africa?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I spent a few years, you know, more recently in Dubai. We were selling hotels in Dubai, the company I worked for. And when I just break it down again to a simple thing, you know, obviously you need to have certain licensing for you to be able to trade in property in a country. So when I first got to Dubai, I had to do a legal course almost. But the process from start to finish was like a 2-week course. So you sit in a course for 2 weeks, you write an exam, you pass, there you go, you get your qualification and off you go. You're free to trade property in Dubai. In South Africa, when we look at the equivalent, it's very, very different. I mean, the EAAB has quite a lengthy process. You look at the first year just being the logbook, after that having to submit, write the exams, and it's quite a long process to qualify to do property in South Africa. So I think that could also, you know, put people off, but I'm sure we you know, these processes will get streamlined in time.
Well, I think you know, going through that process obviously is a great foundation and is required in terms of all the legalities around selling a property.
Of course.
Once that process is in place, I mean, the knowledge that you pick up on selling a value is essentially not only about the marketing, the sales process, the negotiation, but more importantly, the entire deal revolves around the legalities of that deal. So you'll pick up enough information that will stand you in good stead that you can look at a legal document, get a fair idea of how to protect both parties as well as yourself.
Of course.
Correct information supplied. And signed off, and that everybody's in a comfortable position, because nobody wants to land in litigation, certainly not over a property.
Of course.
Yeah, look, I mean, and on that aspect, I mean, when we look at the EAAB and the process that they have put in place, you know, like James was saying, there's nothing like on-the-job training. So even when you are gathering all that information in your first year of property sales, you learn more than any classroom could ever teach you. So from that aspect, I think, you know, it is a fantastic program. And I think another thing about it, though, is that people just don't know. People aren't really educated about what's happening and how to get involved in property. So I would like to touch on that as well and try and educate them and let them know that it is a career that they can actually get into and get involved in.
Please.
Yeah, and I mean, let's say an opportunity for somebody who would want to get into the property business, if they're a non-academic or for all the ADD kids out there, that this process of getting securing your real estate license is not an intensive studying process. It's a practical on-the-job training. Mm. It requires writing an exam at the end of it, but having followed your logbook, going through the process as an intern, by the time you arrive at signing, going to write that exam, you're 100% prepared. There's nothing that would trip you up. And it offers kids and young adults opportunities that if they're not sure what they want to do, but they have a feeling that they're comfortable around people, that they can quickly acclimatize to different situations and are comfortable in that position, then sales is definitely a direction that they can look at doing. Where and again, I go back to the education aspect of that is that that is not instilled in kids. It's either you're going to be this at university, you've got to do that. If you don't do that, you're limiting yourself. Whereas entrepreneurship is not promoted and recognized, essentially. Mm.
Look, I mean, how I fell into property, guys, I have no idea. Mm. I mean, I studied media, majored in radio. That was like my life. Mm. And then this opportunity happened and I was like, oh my gosh, lots of money. I'm gonna be so rich. And then I was completely wrong because it's such a long process. I mean, there are advantages and disadvantages. Can we talk about that? Like, yeah. I mean, going and waiting for like 3 months before you actually make your first money from a sale that you've been working on for like the past 8 months.
Yes.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when we look at the advantages and disadvantages, as you put them, of being in the industry, I mean, you have two sides to every coin. So you do have the possibility to make huge amounts of money. Like in any sales job. I mean, you literally can write your own check so you can make
And rightly so.
And rightly so. Well deserved. But on the flip side of that, it does take a bit of time. I mean, you want to build your name. You want to do things right. Like James was saying when we talked about the processes, you want to make sure that you're covering everybody who's involved, the seller, the buyer, yourself, the company, everything. Mm. And that does take time. So from listing to sale, it can take you about 6 months to actually close your first deal. Mm. And I think that could be a disadvantage because you are essentially in your own business and you're not earning an income for that 6 months. So it is something you need to be prepared for.
But having do, I mean, obviously following that process and understanding that you're not entering it with blinkers. Mm. If you manage to sell a property within your first couple of months of doing it, great.
Yeah.
Certainly gets you, thrown you in the deep end and gets you to an understanding of what how to move forward with it. But I think with the time spent in that process of building up your marketing, so there's so many aspects about this business. It's not only about the legalities. It's not only about the negotiation. It's not only about putting the buyers and seller together. It's about establishing the brand which for which you work for, but also your own brand so that you're recognized with that brand. You're associated with them as a brand ambassador, but you then, whether you're using social media, marketing tools, advertising boards, you basically establishing yourself in the area that you're operating in, but by establishing your brand as an individual, honesty, integrity, transparency, these are the things that make successful salespeople.
Mm.
And you will learn that as you go along, that say it how it is, deal with people openly, explain every aspect of what you're doing, and by doing that, you establish trust.
Yeah.
The property will sell itself.
Mm.
It's either going to, somebody's going to like it or they're not going to like it. It might be an emotional attachment to what they're buying or an investment aspect. But that property is going to sell itself based on what it's going to offer, whether it's a 4-bedroom, 3-bedroom, whatever the criteria of the buyer is. The process is then done and accelerated and moved forward by the by that buyer or seller buying into the concept of you.
Mm.
And that's where the most important aspect of this business is, that the concept of I feel comfortable with this guy. I can trust this person.
Yeah,
I want to move forward with him. And once you've done that, and that takes a couple of years, but once you've done that, then your referral and repeat business is like a machine that's working for you.
Yeah.
You can concentrate on getting a new business. And that's why when we talk about making lots of money, people who are good at what they do, I don't sit and say, if a director of a large mining company is sitting here and says he makes a lot of money, nobody looks and goes, oh, well, he doesn't deserve that. But when salespeople talk about it, it's almost like a thorn in somebody's side going, oh, well, he's made so much money and he ripped me off and look how much money this guy's making out of one deal. But it's a job.
It's a profession.
Yeah.
And you've worked for it. And you've followed the process. And more importantly, you've sold yourself. And that's the most important aspect of this property business, in my opinion.
But just on what you were saying there, I think another big advantage is obviously getting to deal with different people, building that reputation, the excitement in the job. You know, people don't understand the excitement, and this goes in terms of sales, but specifically in property. You know, when you're dealing with individuals, when you close your first deal, when you get that first paycheck, there's nothing like it, man. Yes. The excitement, and it happens every time. You know, you might think it only on your first deal you'd be excited, but I promise you, your 250th deal is just as exciting when you put that together, when you've put in the work. It's fantastic. And I think being associated with a brand like Engel & Fork, because I wouldn't want to be with any other brand, seriously.
Yeah, it's the best. So we're going to come back and touch base on that, especially about the whole emotional attachment with the clients and them not wanting to sell their homes for a certain amount when we know very well that it only deserves to be sold for that much. I really want us to touch on that. So guys, we're going to play you a song, one of my favorite songs as well, Asha, No Limit. And yeah, I'll see you after this song. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. And we're back on Property Hour with Khonse. Guys, please don't forget to WhatsApp us, 079-748-2090. Any questions you have about property, anything you think you need help with, we're here to answer your questions. So guys, going back to our conversation before we played Asha No Limit, I want us to talk more about the EMV brand and why we stand out from the rest and why people should actually use us and no one else.
Well, look, EMV has established itself in the market for many years, and in fact was established in 1987. Mm. It's positioned itself firmly as a premium brand. Mm. So being associated with a brand like that, and they're not only dealing in residential properties, but aviation as well as marine, yachts, luxury boats, pretty much anything within the premium market. Mm. So EMV, having arrived in South Africa, I think now to establish itself within that market spectrum and just make ourselves more recognized in terms of offering a better service offering than what's out there. I think the level has improved significantly in the country, but I think what our target is just to escalate that to the highest level possible. To be associated, I mean, to work for a brand like that, people use the word passion, but it is, you do become aligned with it, where you become so engrossed in it, you believe in what you're doing, you're confident to promote the brand, you're confident to believe in it. Mm. And that essentially also ingratiates the client to you, because they can sense your confidence, they sense your belief in what you're doing, and certainly with the brand association with it. You know, speaking from where we are, we're in the Hyde Park area, where our offices are. I look after Hyde Park and Craig Hall Park. And the licensed owner for which we work, Scott Farrow, has got an abundance of experience in sales and marketing. He's a marketing guru, in my opinion, and has really taken an aggressive approach to buying up licenses in the prime areas, and will use that experience to impart it onto the property advisors, be it for property buy, purchasing or rentals, whereby we want to really take over the market. When you think about buying a property, you think about Engel & Fork. Yeah. When you're thinking about an area to buy in a property, you think about the agents that are representing that area. And with the marketing rollout, what's planned for the beginning of the year, I mean, we're just going to be taking on every aspect of marketing that we can, and obviously backing it up with our service offering. A lot of guys are on intensive training at the moment, because we are essentially quite new within those areas where those licenses have been bought. But that doesn't mean that we lack experience or the drive to take it forward. And I think collectively amongst the people in that office, there's a couple of hundred years of sales experience, marketing capabilities, and that offering that we're aiming to achieve within the Engel & Forkers brand.
I mean, like James was saying, you know, just with the backing of a well-established brand like Engel & Forkers worldwide, I mean, the footprint, some of the numbers I threw out earlier on, I don't know if the listeners were paying attention, but when you look at being in over 700 locations, so, you know, when we talk about the licenses and the areas we deal with here in South Africa, it's like a drop in the ocean. Your property goes up with one of our consultants here in Hyde Park, but we advertise that in over 700 locations worldwide. So you can think about that. I mean, the exposure is second to none. And that's probably one of the biggest draws as why you should be dealing with Engel and Fawkes in the first place, you know, just our footprint.
And, I mean, just touching on that, and I think something that we're predominantly promoting and trying to get market share on is exclusive mandating.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of buyers or sellers, well, particularly sellers, have got this concept about a mandate, and I think that they feel limited by giving one mandate to a particular agent.
Mm.
But that's not the case. With an exclusive mandate, you're essentially giving an opportunity to Engel & Fawkes and to that relevant agent the sole opportunity to market this product, to get it out there, maximum exposure, but exclusivity.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, to sign an exclusive mandate with Engel & Fawkes, the follow through and the guarantees that are in place from the onset when you're signing that mandate, I mean, that legal document gives all the information that the seller needs with regards, I mean, to the smallest things like when you will be followed up after show houses, the way the show house is marketed, to make it, to individualize it. If it is an apartment where you know the criteria is essentially would be an investment product or tackling a younger market, we will then address it in that way and market it correctly.
Tailor make it.
I mean, and then, you know, in the high-end homes, mid to high-end homes, there's opportunities to sell. The investment aspect of it is always there, but also the concept of the dream. You know, you're buying, it's that person's castle. It's that person's opportunity to raise a family, to create an entire life around that property. And that's where the marketing speciality comes in, where you actually looking at this whole process, getting a feel for the home and how you're going to promote it. And exclusive mandates are by far the most effective way of selling a home.
Yeah.
And with those, I mean, when you're talking of homes of 80 to 100 million rand, the market in this country in that segment is smaller than what you'd achieve internationally, but would be marketed in both markets. So for somebody to spend X amount of euros on a home like that, it first of all brings investment into the country, brings the opportunity for people to bring their business into the country based on the homes that they're buying. But yeah, I think just with the way Engel & Fawkes is positioning itself within that, promoting exclusive mandates on the sale of properties is by far going to be a market leading strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about the weight that gets thrown behind an exclusive mandate, it's always in the seller's best interest to do that. So I would encourage all sellers out there, please go with an exclusive mandate. And you don't stand to lose anything, you have everything to gain. And if possible, always choose Engel & Fawkes.
All right. We've got a WhatsApp, actually. It says, "Hi, Khonse. My question is, what are the different ways of purchasing property except through your bank?"
Well, I mean, there are not many opportunities apart from being a cash buyer or using the banks.
Yeah.
Those are essentially your channels that you would have to go through. There's no such thing as, you know, people outside of those banking entities financing homes. Very few that I know of, if any.
Because you always have to use your bank, don't you?
Well, unless you're a cash buyer.
Yeah, unless you're a cash buyer.
Yeah.
But I feel like every time you need to use your bank because they know how your bank is set up.
The security of the banks, obviously, I mean, they will come in if you've initiated the sale, you're happy with the home and you've essentially agreed on the value of the sale. The bank will come in and they're a second stop, essentially, where they come in and they're going to evaluate it and they're going to say, look, we're not comfortable to finance this value because it's over equity.
Mm.
It's an overinvestment on that. And so you do eventually, again, you've got a second stop where you feel guaranteed that what you're buying is market relative.
Yeah. So that's important.
Yeah. And that's where the banks, again, offer you that insurance.
Mm.
Assurance.
Okay. And I've got another one here. It says, "Hi, Khonse. What solution is there in order for people to qualify for more than one houses than cars? Even if it was a low-cost house, I can't drive a 1 million rand car and not qualify for a low-cost house. Like, what does that mean? What solution is there?"
So just to rephrase the question,
she's
asking, what is the solution to qualify for more than one property?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously.
Than cars, sorry. So, like he's saying, for more than one property as compared to cars, because, I mean, I can afford a 1 million rand car, but how come I can't afford a house? That's what he's asking.
Well, I mean, obviously, when you look at your lending institutions, they do have extensive criteria when you're talking about sizable purchases. So we break it down and we say, obviously, there's internal processes that they follow and things that they look at. In terms of affordability, everything and all the checks that they're doing are to protect you as the consumer and at the end of the day. So the only way I could say you can qualify for more than one property, where you might qualify for a car, with a house, it's a bit more stringent. I would say just be vigilant or more vigilant save a little bit. Make sure you check your credit score on a regular basis, every couple of months. Banks always want to look at somebody who's got a little bit of money in their account. Even if you do get 100% bond, they would prefer if you had at least 10%. And you can always leverage one house when you're trying to, that's if it's an investment property. You can always leverage it when you're then purchasing your second property and say, I'm making an additional income on this, which does cover the bond, and therefore I'm looking to purchase a second one. And the banks will look favorably on that kind of investment decision.
And again, I mean, to go and to have a vehicle that outvalues your home is by far not the right way.
It doesn't make sense.
No, definitely
it
not.
It doesn't.
You certainly want to be, as we've touched on earlier, investing your money into property.
Yeah, for sure.
And as a young person getting into the market and getting into your first job, to run yourself and have yourself a budget where you know what you need to get by on every month, how much you can save, and essentially, again, and I know this isn't going to appeal to a lot of people, is not to put the money into the car, drive a smaller car, but create your equity in terms of a capital of rand value. A lot of first-time buyers won't get 100% bonds, so people get put off, or where they feel that, you know, well, they're not going to try again, they're just going to rent because the banks didn't offer them 100% bond. If they've managed their money correctly, the banks can see, okay, he's created some equity here. We're going to offer him X amount of percentage of the bond. Obviously, then the rest would be balanced up by a cash deposit. And these are things, you know, I mean, as an offering to people who are potentially looking to buy, wanting to know the exact criteria of it, they can give us a call at the Hyde Park office. We can spend a bit of time and give an indication what needs to be done to move forward. So you're offering that opportunity and certainly us as a brand, to start educating people or channeling them in the right direction so that they can prepare themselves for what's required to buy and sell properties.
Yeah, and I think just on that note, James, a bit of education for some of the buyers out there, not necessarily our seasoned buyers, but first-time buyers, always have a deposit. I mean, it really helps you qualify, have some money saved up, and also know that there's other costs involved, like transfer costs for the attorneys and things like that. So when somebody says, I didn't qualify, perhaps they just didn't get 100%, which is what they were looking for. So it's always advisable that you do have a little bit of money for the other costs.
And I think that, you know, when you're dealing with somebody like Engel & Völkers, when you're potentially in the market for that, that the transparency of the costs that are incurred based on transfer costs, all those little bits and bobs that people don't factor into the sale or to the purchase, that when they're buying and they think, okay, I'm going to buy this house, and then suddenly they get it, there's all the other costs that come up, and they feel as though they've been led down the wrong path, which in actual fact, if the job is done correctly from the get-go, they're aware of that.
Yes.
The negotiation around the commission is structured, and that usually is a percentage plus VAT, and that needs to be explained to the seller and the buyer, so that they're in a position where they know exactly what they're coming out with as a net value.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's something that obviously that we pride ourselves on at Engel & Völkers.
Definitely.
That we will certainly, as I say, have that transparency. And again, with regards to going back to exclusive mandates, with regards to negotiating commissions and that, you know, you might come in slightly more than what the market average or what another agent has offered you, but your service offering is in writing. It's guaranteed. You know that you're going to be 100% up to date. You know exactly the progress of where you are. Mm-hmm. Before a property is listed, you'd have the opportunity to go through the advert to make sure that you're happy with the pictures, and you sign off and you know and say, okay, I know that England Focus is now in charge of what they're doing here, and I'm happy with the marketing process that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're always looking to satisfy them. That's our job as England Focus, like to just make everyone satisfied, and you happy, we happy.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. So guys, I also want to talk about sales and rentals. I mean, a lot of people, you were saying earlier, Liz, that a lot of people actually go out there and rent for like 10 years, whereby it's actually advisable to go and just buy instead of, unless you do a rent to buy, instead of just doing rentals your whole entire 5 years. Can we talk about more about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, the perspective and where I was coming from is just that the sooner you put your money in something, the sooner you own a property, the sooner it's going to start generating a return, okay? Rentals most times will be cheaper than having to repay the bond. Don't get me wrong. The bond is going to be a little bit more than your rental would be for the exact same property. But the sooner you own that property, the sooner you start paying towards the bond, the sooner you're going to finish, the sooner you can possibly rent it out and start generating an income. So you can never start too early, and that's the perspective where I was coming from.
I think that ties in a lot with people who are trying to establish a budget and manage their money. So a rental will make sense for somebody who's just started a new job, who's just getting into their careers. But again, you know, that gives you the opportunity, and certainly with the brand of with Engel and Focus, and I keep punting the name, but essentially that, you know, if you got into a situation where we signed a rental deal with you, you then created the relationship with us. We manage those rentals for and look after not only the person who owns the property, but and protect the person who's renting from them.
Yeah.
But with that business establishment and you then created that relationship, the natural progression then when you are ready to buy, you would stay with the brand. You stay with Engel & Focus. You know what they – you know where their integrity is. You know how they operate. And then you can say to them, look, I'm very comfortable now. I'm in a position to buy. And you know that the Engel & Focus brand will then help you and manage
the transition
into the actual buying process.
Exactly.
And also, I mean, sometimes when people know that I'm a property advisor, I get silly questions like, what do I ultimately need to earn on a monthly to be able to afford a 2 million house? I never know how to answer that, because for me, everything is savings and also your bank.
Well, look, I mean, there's no such thing as a silly question. We are there to advise everybody.
Yeah, I know that. I know
that. So, you know, somebody who comes in from that perspective to say, you know, in order for me to qualify, what do I need to earn? You know, we always try and educate. All of these things are available, of course, on my best friend Google. You can always check in terms of West Bank, all the big banks, all the big houses have a little calculator, whether you're buying a car or buying a house or you want to check affordability, and they'll kind of guide you around what you need to earn and what your monthly repayments would be. But we're always there to help.
And those are, look, with regards though, I mean, if you look at a home that's advertised, you scroll down to the bottom, based on the sales value of the home, it'll give you an indicative value of what that bond repayment would be.
Yes.
And I use that word indicative. It doesn't encompass some of the other costs that are involved. It gives you indicative interest rate of prime plus one. So, you know, you've got to then, once you've got an idea, you can then approach the agents or the selling company, and they can then sort of narrow it down. But this process can only be accurately given once the bond application has been put into place. The banks will then decide, depending on your scoring, what sort of interest rate they're prepared to offer you, what percentage of bond they're prepared to offer you, and then you can get an accurate figure of what that bond will cost you. But the indicative value on the calculator at least puts you in the right position when you say, okay, I'm buying a house for 3 million rand. I'm going to be in a bond installment of plus minus 30,000 rand a month. You have an idea and say, okay, well, I'm not going to qualify for that. And that's how you start the process of whittling it down and going, okay, I can afford X amount of money and moving forward from there.
But on that, I mean, I would always advise again that buyers need to, you know, first-time buyers as well, they need to come in and they need to do sort of like a pre-approval with their banks and know where they stand. You know, go into your bank, you want to purchase a property, they're more than willing to do a little calculation for you and say, yeah, in principle, you would qualify for a house of this amount. And at least you know, you're looking in the right places when you are looking for your home then.
And it's like going back to what we were talking about as the England Focus brand. We believe a lot in home evaluations before selling the home. I mean, can we talk about how necessary it is to actually go and do a home evaluation before you can just put it on the market and say, my home is worth 4 million without even us as the property advisors coming in and actually doing the home evaluations?
So I think, well, definitely in the top five criteria of establishing a sales process with regards, obviously, selling your home. The first part of that is to get an accurate value on what that home is worth. You can only have a value of a home based on square meterage, the market average in the area, what the last five or six houses, 10 houses values were that sold with equivalent size within the area.
Yeah.
That process needs to be handled correctly from the beginning. There's no point in saying to a guy, okay, you want 6 million. I think your home is worth 6 million, but we'll put it up for 9 and see how we go from there. You're creating an expectation that is unachievable. You, with regards to doing this, with regards to price counseling and getting somebody to a comfortable position where they get to understand the exact property, the value of their property, you have to take the emotion out of it. It is difficult to do that as a seller because you may have so many memories attached to it and your kids have grown up there. So there's sentimental value in it. But once you remove that and you get to the business aspect of it, and that can only be handled by somebody who has established themselves with the trust relationship that is giving the open and honest advice. And that is something that England Focus, that we certainly going to pride ourselves on, that we don't create an unrealistic expectation.
That's right, we don't.
That we can market your home, get you the correct value, get you a net value that is accurate and achievable. And I think that is by far, it's definitely in the top five criteria of once you start marketing a home, that it is correctly valued.
Yeah, it's very important, right? So yeah, guys, we're going to play one more song. I know that this is so interesting. I'm even interested. So we're going to play actually our last song. We out of time, guys. So we might as well just say goodbyes. I didn't even see.
It's been great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, thank you. And for the people who are listening and have any questions with regard to England Focus, where we are in the market, any questions, they're more than welcome to visit our websites, contact us directly, and we'll advise wherever we can.
Yes, guys, and you guys can still tweet me if you still have any further questions and I can give you proper answers. Tweet me at The Goon and also on at cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, sure, and they can obviously reach us on 011-100-7502, and that's the Hyde Park office. That's 011-100-7502.
Yes, that's the Hyde Park office. Thank you guys for listening and hashtag Property Hour with Khonsi. See you again soon.
Thanks,
Bye. Cliffcentral.com.